like a sunrise warming us up. Night drives cruising on the highway, spending all of my time kicking with you, honey, with you. Ooh, honey, with you. Oh, ooh. Good morning and welcome back to Faith and Freedom. I'm Chamaine Nugent and I'm so glad that you're here. Now, imagine this scenario, if you will. You're a homeowner and a parent, and you have young school-age children. You love donating your time and your money to charities who help other children, maybe dogs and veterans, the environment. But back at home, your kids are alone and left to fend for themselves. They start getting hungry, but every day you get in your car and you spend time helping the other charities, and you buy them food and clothing, but your kids have nothing. Then one day your home is broken into and now strangers are living in your house. Seems odd that you wouldn't take care of that situation, right? Okay, this was a made-up scenario, and all of you who are watching are responsible homeowners and parents, right? You lock your doors at night, you feed and clothe your kids, and if there's a situation, let's just say somebody spills the milk at the breakfast table, you help them clean it up. Our government is supposed to protect us, lock our doors, close our borders, and help us when there's a terrible tragedy, like the train derailment in East Palestine. But the parent figure of this nation, President Biden, didn't visit the Ohio community or offer to help clean up the mess. Instead, Biden decided to make a surprise visit to Ukraine on President's Day. And he gave away $500 million of your money, not to his children, the citizens of East Palestine, those who are looking to him for guidance, but he gave it to Ukraine. Shouldn't we be focused on getting our own house in order, protecting our children, and strengthening our borders while the nation struggles with more spills and tragedies like inflation and open borders? And our freedoms, like our First Amendment, are being stripped away. Shouldn't this administration be taking action to strengthen our border, protect its citizens, and especially our veterans who have sacrificed so much to fight for our freedoms? Shouldn't the government be at least partly responsible for repairing the damage caused by the recent pandemic or addressing the real issues of this country? And I'm gonna tell you about two issues that are serious in this country that nobody's talking about. Obesity-related deaths in this country. Now, 3,000 people tragically died in September 11 attacks. The number of people who die from overweight and obese-related illnesses is like one 9/11 every week. And another one is suicide, not COVID. Suicide was the number one cause of death in 2020. So why isn't anyone addressing the problems we have in this house, in our country? As the flight attendant says, put the oxygen mask on yourself first before helping others. President Biden most likely hasn't flown commercially in decades, but he really needs to hear that message. Let's take care of our own people first. Now, there is hope. You've all heard about the Asbury Revival with tens of thousands of Christians flooding into the small town and in other states too. There is a great awakening happening right now. People are waking up. We're going to discuss these topics and so much more coming up right here on Faith and Freedom. Tensions continue to mount between China and the U.S. even after a diplomatic meeting between Secretary of State Antony Blinken and China's Wang Yi. Blinken says Wang Yi refused to offer an apology for the communist nation's incursion into our airspace, even as those like President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris try to downplay the disrespect. Biden has denied that the balloon surveillance was a major breach of security, and Harris says the CCP's actions shouldn't impact our relationship with them. shouldn't being the key word. Joining us live now to discuss, Republican representative for Florida's 19th district, Byron Donalds. Congressman Donalds, thank you so much for joining us. Your response to our nation's current position on this global stage?
Well, I'm very concerned. We are not a country that was in the position we were 4 years ago, or even, frankly, even 2 years ago. We're in a much worse off position. And this is because Joe Biden's response to foreign policy matters is to lead from behind. He's late to the game all the time. And it's only when the American people or people around the world have issues or concern that he steps up to the plate to try to scramble to save polling numbers or to save face in the news cycle. That is not the way America should be leading. Our current issues stem from the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. Now, look, I know there's a lot of Americans who didn't want to stay in Afghanistan. I didn't want to stay in Afghanistan anymore. But the way upon which Joe Biden pulled us out, where 13 men and women of our armed forces lost their lives, where there were still Americans caught in the hands of the Taliban as we took off and ran out of Afghanistan, it set up the conflict in Ukraine, set up this burgeoning conflict with China, and America is not in the strong position she needs to be so that the American people will be able to live free and prosperous for the next century like we have for the last one.
I'm glad you brought up Afghanistan because I totally agree. And it seems like there's so much going on. Every single day there's another crisis and we forget about that. I haven't, and I know you haven't, and so many other patriots haven't, but we're maybe going into another war with Ukraine. How come nobody's talking about what's the end game here? What is the end result and how long is this going to take and how much money is it going to cost?
Well, look, many Republicans on the Hill are talking about the end game. The first part of this end game is what is our money actually gone to buy? Right now, we're well over $100 billion in aid to Ukraine to fight off the Russian army. But we have no accounting of how the money's actually been spent. That's one of the reasons why so many House Republicans have opposed the continued supplementals after the initial one. But there has to be an end game here. But we always have to remember something else. The Russian military and the Russian government, they're not our friends. They are adversaries to us on the global stage. The United States has an agreement from 1993, the Bucharest Agreement, to protect the sovereignty of Ukraine. So that is something that Bill Clinton at the time signed off. I'm of the belief that if America says they're going to do something, America has to follow through and do it. But that being said, we cannot just continuously fund an endless conflict with no real leadership position to try to bring it to a close. It's irresponsible at best and at worst. And please believe me, I don't want to do it. And frankly, a lot of Democrats don't want to do it. But at worst, it leaves our men and women potentially being put into harm's way. That is something I definitely want to avoid. But we have to have clarity. We have to have leadership and not this leading from behind that we've seen from Joe Biden.
Yeah, and we are willing to protect the borders of other countries, but not our own. We've got thousands and thousands of migrants crossing our border daily, every day illegally, because they think the border is open because the Biden administration said it was, but then it wasn't open, but it really is. While Republicans are attempting to get to the bottom of this matter through hearings conducted by the House Committee on Oversight and Accountability, Democrats are calling the hearings a symptom of white nationalism. And I know that really irked you earlier this month, Congressman. Your reaction to these hearings and to Democrats fighting against them?
Well, the Democrats using this language about they're steeped in white nationalism or whatever they like to say, it really pissed me off. That's not me. I'm not about that. Never been for that. But I am for securing our border. Listen, right now we have more than 6 million people have come into the United States illegally and through this weird asylum process that Joe Biden has set up since he's been president. 6 million. That's more than the population in 24 states. So this is a tragedy for our country. Look, for people who were genuinely persecuted across the globe, claiming asylum is something that the American people have always supported. But what Joe Biden has done is he's bastardized that policy. He's given operational control to the drug cartels. Fentanyl is flowing across our borders. And you said it right. We're engaged in Ukraine. In the last omnibus bill, we sent $400 million to countries in the Middle East to help them secure their border. But Joe Biden and Democrats and, yes, Senate Republicans agreed to a spending package last year that stopped us from requiring border security for our own country. This is something where House Republicans are going to take a stand. It is outrageous that we don't secure our own borders while we're doing it for other countries around the globe. And I think going back to the Ukraine issues and other issues around the globe, the American people have a heart for what goes on in these countries. But what a lot of Americans are sick and tired of is taking care of other countries while America is being left unprepared and untaken care of. We can do both, but it starts here at home.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, let's go back to what some might call disappointing midterms for Republicans because there was no red wave, but Nancy Pelosi is not there. So I think it's good. But except in your home state, in my part-time state of Florida, where I own a she shed, and I've run into you at several charity events, so I appreciate that. I appreciate you taking the time to chat with me here today. But we're hearing GOP leaders now pointing to the Sunshine State as a type of blueprint for the future of the GOP. What's working and what lessons do you think, Byron, should Republicans be learning from what's going on in Florida?
Well, the first thing is Florida, yeah, we're the beacon of hope in the conservative movement in the United States, no doubt about it. The first thing is Florida has consistently led with conservative policies for 30 years. Ron DeSantis has been a tremendous governor. Many people call him America's governor. But we have actually had four Republican governors in the last 30 years. And there has been a consistent push of conservative policies year after year. You have states like Missouri. Missouri is just starting the process of consistently electing Republicans and conservatives. If they continue that, Missouri policy will start to reflect Florida policy. And that's a great thing for people. The second piece is Republicans should never be shy or afraid of leading with our principles, our values, and our policies. There's nothing wrong with taking on the left. I do it all the time. I actually enjoy doing it. It's a lot of fun. But we should not be afraid of what our policies mean for voters who are rich, middle income, who are poor, who are black, who are white, who are Hispanic, who are liberals, and who are conservatives. We know our policies work. Florida is the proof of that. Compare us to a state like California that has seen more people leave it than any state in the history of the country. California is proof positive that liberal policies are awful for a people and for a country like ours. Conversely, Florida people continue to come day after day after day, and they're going to continue to, because like Milton Friedman said, you can judge public policy by the movement of feet by people, and people are choosing Florida. It is the future of the Republican Party. Republican leaders across the country need to stand and lead, be vocal, and not be afraid of the value system we know works.
Absolutely. Byron, we've got less than a minute. Can you give us an update on what's happening with the January 6th political prisoners?
So listen, the update right now is still a grim one. The Department of Justice, in my view, has still gone through a violation of Fourth Amendment rights. Many people there shouldn't have been held, not nearly as long as they should or held at all. If they needed to get a date in court, that was fine. But to hold them like this was just reprehensible, terrible treatment. With respect to the footage of what happened on January 6th, I know Speaker McCarthy has been working to make sure that stuff gets released. I know Tucker Carlson has that footage. There's going to have to be a lot of oversight on the Department of Justice. But going back to that omnibus bill from last December, what is tying the hands of House Republicans is there's no funding vehicle to be able to hold the Department of Justice accountable. And that's really where it has to start. Listen, if you do wrong in our country, you got to pay the price. Everybody understands that. But what has happened to the January 6th prisoners has been abhorrent and it has been un-American, and we're going to get to the bottom of it.
Good. That's good to hear. Congressman, thank you so much for joining us, and I hope to see you in Florida sometime.
Listen, thank you so much, Shemaine, for all your good work, and I'll see you soon.
Well, that's all we have for today. If you'd like more information on how to be wildly well, check out my free online magazine at www.shemainenugent.rocks. And I have to say, so many people have reached out to me for more information about toxic mold. You can check out my documentary that's all about us discovering mold between the walls of our MTV Cribs home. We lost everything. We demolished the house, but worse, my husband Ted and our son Rocco and I were all deathly ill. So if you want to hear more about that and discover how you can get remediated with your body and your home, you can go to killerhouse.org. Take care of your health and your body. It's the only one you've got. Share this message so we can reach more people with faith, hope, and freedom. God bless.